From years of anxiety to warrior and mentor, Bradley Robinson created the Anxiety Project to help you end your anxiety naturally. Let's mold the new you and let's end anxiety together.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the Anxiety Project channel. Welcome back to the community. Here on episode 283, we're talking about decision making, which path to take, and I'm diving into the conscience, how that plays a role in your decision making, because it's difficult. If you're anxious, then it becomes even more difficult. You have to use your cognitive prefrontal cortex to really plan out a path forward, and you know, making that list of the cons and the pros of the decision you're about to head in. But even still, you're then left scratching your head and you're obsessing over this, and it's making you anxious for days and perhaps weeks on end. And it's no joke. I'm going to dive into all of the nitty-gritty of decision-making and the best path for you going forward when you have difficult decisions to make, when you're even in that middle ground of really having poison A and poison B to choose from, and how you can come to some sort of a conclusion when you have just two difficult roads ahead of you. But I want to tie into this conversation agreeableness, the personality trait agreeableness, and how that relates to some degree with decision making. I'm high in agreeableness, by the way, and it's difficult. And it was difficult for me to harness more of this assertive side of my personality, because I remember developing this strong dislike to that side of myself. And that's what Jung would call the shadow element of the psyche, the part of yourself that you really don't like. And you see in other people that you really don't like, but it's a reflection of what you don't like within your own self. And so for me, being high in agreeableness, I would have difficulty saying no to people. I would think about other people more than myself. I would avoid conflict whatsoever. And if that meant holding my tongue, not speaking up, not setting a boundary, then that was the case. Very bad. If you want to diminish your self-respect for yourself, that's the way to go. But overly agreeable people struggle with saying no and in setting boundaries, because they want to avoid conflict and maintain a positive relationship with other people. And that ties in with decision making, right? Especially when you're with a partner or a group of people. Agreeable people care more about how the world sees them than them seeing themselves in a certain way. But the thing about that is, you're going to see yourself in a certain way the more compassionate you are to the world. And I see this with people all the time, where they're so overly compassionate. They say things like, I'll do anything for you. You can call me up at any time of day. I'll always be there. I'll always do this. But they can't take care of themselves. They're all over the place. They're not sleeping. They're suffering from anxiety disorders or depression, or their life's chaotic. And I had a friend like that who was overly compassionate, but I saw that he can't take care of himself. So how could he ever live up to those? How could he ever provide me with the useful tools and knowledge that I need when I go through something difficult to overcome the difficulty if they can't even manage their own difficulty? So that's a true statement right there. And then when you let people walk over you, okay, because people high in agreeableness, people who are overly compassionate, they will forfeit their boundaries to please you. But the thing about that is, people will take advantage of you. That's the big thing here. People know within seconds whether they can walk all over you or not, just by your mannerisms, how you look at people, kind of sternness or the confidence that you exude, the energy that you exude in your face and body, people, it's like it's an unconscious process that happens within seconds. People can tell. And people will manipulate you if they see that there is an opportunity to. That will happen. And then when that does happen, you'll notice that you walked into something that you should have reacted to differently. You should have had a boundary. You should have said something. You should have spoke up. And I noticed that within myself, there would be this guilty, shameful aura around me after these encounters. And I would feel upset. I would reflect on this throughout the weeks. And I'll still reflect on it even to this day. I'll think back on those moments. And one grows a bitterness, a resentment around that, around other people, around the outside world. But then it'll seep into their own selves. Why did I let myself do that? And then it can snowball into aggression because that person who was walked over then starts to think and trod down this path of, well, how do I show them my dominance? And one clear path, which is not one I recommend you walk down, is showing aggression towards them. I'm going to hurt them. And that's when you really walk down a hellish path. That's where things have gotten too far. So how one can manifest their more assertive side is to notice that there's a situation here that if I don't say anything, I'm going to regret this and it's really going to come back to bite me. And the fear of that coming back to bite me is more reason to act right now than trying to please this other person. Because I then developed this fear of, if I don't say anything, I'm really not going to like myself. And I'd rather say something and for them to not like me than for me to not like myself in the future. And because I want to garnish that self-respect. I care about myself. And, well, you're going to sell your soul little bits at a time if you don't have a boundary. So how that relates to decision-making, well, sometimes you're going to let the group or the other people influence you if you're high in agreeableness, that decision, rather than you thinking what's best for me, you think more of what's best for them. If I say no, are they going to get offended? I've had those thoughts, man, because I'm high in agreeableness. I had those thoughts of, oh, that manager is going to think manager's not going to like me if I quit the job. It's like, who cares if the manager, if the manager thinks that it's good for me if I quit the job? I need to go do something better. So I have those thoughts all the time. It's a burden to wrestle with high agreeableness, but I know what I have to do because I've practiced saying no. I've practiced standing up for myself. I've practiced setting boundaries and speaking up when I know it is necessary. And it's always a wrestle. And in relationships too, I know what's best for my fiance or my wife, rather. I know what's best for her, but sometimes I'm thinking, well, you know, I should just let her, you know, stay on the phone or watch TV or something. You know, she's enjoying that. But sometimes there's a part of me that says, well, we should go to the gym, or we should go for a walk, we should go for a hike, we should go meditate, we should go do breathing exercises together. And then I think, well, that will require me to have that conversation. Then she's not going to really want to do it. And then I'm going to have to convince her. And I really don't want to get into that situation. And then so, you know, I'm just going to leave us to watch TV or something. But you know, sometimes that agreeableness gets in the way of what's best for her, what's best for me, and also deciding where to go to eat or what to do during the day. Sometimes I'm like, whatever you want to do. But she might bring up an idea that's actually not good for either of us. And if I'm overly agreeable, if I'm not paying attention and I agree to that, then we wind up not really manifesting a productive and meaningful day. But if I say, well, you know, I think this will be better, and I stick to this and I commit to this, it's the commitment part, right? That's what it is. It's the commitment. If I commit to this, then, you know, it might work out better for us. We might actually spend more of a quality time together. We might enjoy ourselves more. It might resolve underlying problems and snakes lurking beneath the surface. And so that's why I bring up agreeableness, is because that does play a role in commitment, decision making. And those agreeable people like myself always think, well, what are the other people going to think, rather than what's the best course of action for me? And then you might be that kind of a person like I was, where I will go to people and ask others to make the decision for me. That's another no-no, and I'll tell you why. Because this steals your victory. They will steal your victory. The victory is the commitment to a path and the lessons gained from that journey, which in turn develops and strengthens your own self-respect and trust within yourself and your conscience. A decision is difficult when there is a bad path and a bad path. Poison A and there's poison B. Each choice hosts an amalgamation of snakes and potential rewards, but we pay attention to the snakes, obviously. What's going to bite us? Oh, I'll never find a relationship again if I break up with this person. Oh, you know, if I leave the comforts of my current job and go to this job, then what if I get trapped into this other position that I don't like to be in, and then I'm spending more hours there and this and that. That you can really get going with those snakes, and they can definitely influence your decision and keep you in that mediative space between choosing a path. And we obsess over the decision because of this very unknown, the snake's garnish, right? Those are the unknown things. What if? What happens when I trod down this path? And a path leading into a dark, foggy, murky, wooded area, well, that's going to cause you some anxiety. It's going to cause you some resistance. It seems difficult. It seems uncertain. We want to hold on to as much certainty as we possibly can. That's really the human condition. But it holds information, that path. It holds information we yet understand, but we don't want to step forth because of this fear of change, the fear of our map of the world being disrupted and reformatted. It's not a good place, but we always have to take these leaps of faith. It is a leap of faith. But funnily enough, the place of indecision, of being in the middle between choosing, is the worst place to be, as you know, because these choices that you're obsessing about are portals into a new chapter of your life. They're a portal. And of course it'll produce anxiety, because It's what's uncertain. It's possibility. That's what produces anxiety. Christ says, if you are neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. And so what this means, that's so, so profound. What that means is if you remain undecided, then the decisions themselves grow in size and become more fearful the more you avoid them. The more it grows, the dragon grows. If the decisions are down pathways you've never trodden down, then the conscience may not know what's best for you. But it might have a hunch. It might have a hunch based off the context of the choice. But here's the thing. How do you know if the conscience, or how do you know what the conscience wants best for you? And this is what I learned from Dr. Peterson. He says that you have to sit quietly without any distractions with your own mind, and you have to ask yourself and really mean it. You have to ask yourself with the intention of wanting to find an answer, and you have to ask yourself, should I take this job? Should I move here? Or should I attend this party? Should I buy this TV? Should I take this course? Should I leave this relationship? Whatever the decision is, and ask yourself and wait for the answer. And I've done this many times in my life where the answer would then be something I would not want to hear, because I kind of wanted to go back into the easy path. Yeah, I don't really want to take that job. I want to stay with what I have. But then the voice would come up and the voice would say, take the job. And then I would be like, but every part of me doesn't want to take the job. Why is that voice telling me to do it? To struggle, go through this struggle, to go through this wrestling, go through all of this anxiety and dread. Oh my God, it was unbelievably brutal. But the voice would say, Do it, take that leap, jump, go for it. But then I'm like, every part of me doesn't want it. But why is that voice telling me something I don't want to hear? And this is where it gets so interesting for me, writing out this podcast and discovering more about this inner voice. I call it God. You can call it conscience, voice of reason, truth, potential, whatever you want. But it's something that, it's the voice that says, when you're driving home from work, it's the voice that goes, go to the gym. And you're like, I don't want to. I want to go home. I'm tired. And the voice is saying, go to the gym. What the heck? Why? Why are you telling me that? The voice wants you to do something difficult so that it can bring out more of you as a person, so that it can learn something, it can grow, it can strengthen, it can build on itself, it can build you. And it knows more of what's best for you than anyone else in your life. And that's the weird thing. I think the voice is in relationship to the orientation of the spirit behind the decision. So if you're saying, you know, should I buy this TV or should I buy this Xbox? And the voice says no, then maybe there's something to that. Maybe you should be saving your money. Maybe you should be reading instead. Maybe you should be going to the gym instead. Even though it'd be nice to play that Xbox, it'd be nice to have that. So, I mean, the voice can be wrong. And that's also the thing too. But I don't know though. I don't know, because I'm wrestling with this idea. When I was writing out this podcast, I've been wrestling with these ideas. And I think that when the voice doesn't know, when the voice says, when you say, well, should I leave the relationship? And the voice really doesn't know. It's like, yes, no, I don't know. I think that's because that path, those both of those pathways are too uncertain, that it's so far out of your understanding and your conscience's understanding. But it's really important though to jump into one of those paths, because you're going to learn a lesson there. It's better than staying in the middle, because you're just going to build on your anxiety and your self-respect lessons in that area. But when you decide, you know what, I'm going to leave the relationship, maybe you'll realize that that person probably was the one for me. Or, man, maybe, it's so complicated, because you leave the relationship, you might even think that the person is the one. Maybe it's like, oh, I made a big mistake. Oh, God, I don't know what I'm doing. And then later down the road, stuff manifests in your life. Like maybe you meet someone new. Maybe you dive into something different in your life. Maybe you take martial arts, or as a consequence of dealing with all of your emotions and anxiety around the relationship. Or maybe, you know, you decide to go on a vacation, and then that changes your life, because then you figure out something new on the vacation. Or maybe you discover a new place to live as a consequence. Or like, you're going to learn something no matter what poison you decide to take. That's the thing. You're going to learn something. And so you take that leap into the new job that has more responsibility. Oh, I don't want to take the job. There's just more responsibility, longer hours. I got to learn new software and material and this and that. Yeah, it's rough, do you think you're going to really regret it in the long term, learning all of these new things? Absolutely not. It's going to stretch you. When you do things that are difficult and you persevere and you incorporate the new information, you grow immensely as a consequence. Doesn't matter if you're going to a Starbucks job, or you're going to do a new managerial position, or wherever you're going, right? You're going to learn something. You're going to learn more about yourself, how you deal with certain situations and people. That's the thing, is that the decision might feel like it's a wrong one now, but you know, it could be. But either way, it's going to make you grow, and you're going to learn something. If you stay in what's familiar, you don't really learn. You don't. You stay with what's familiar. You stay with what's repetitive. You run on autopilot. Your default mode network runs the show. You're just running same patterns. You switch up the patterns. You see a different side of the world, other people, yourself. And you learn. You become more confident in the fact that you can manage change itself, that I can, you know, jump into this new boat over here and figure it out. I can jump over here and figure it out. I can jump out of the relationship and figure it out. So you will, there's always a benefit to which path you take. It's just how you look at it. It really is how you look at it. And failure, that's part of the journey, because failure is an orientation mechanism. It helps you readjust yourself. And when I jumped into this anxiety recovery journey, which I never really ever imagined I would take, it found me, because I was oriented into a very dark and disturbing direction in my life. And so the anxiety came about as a consequence of my orientation. So when I reoriented myself, I was stumbling forward into this new identity. I was reconstructing myself out of this marble, right? Like chipping away piece by piece and seeing what's underneath, like what I could manifest. And as time went on, I saw that little parts of myself would come out that surprised me and startled me, but may also built on my confidence and my trust within my body. The trust that I could handle suffering, the trust that I could go out into the world, into any new situation and deal with it, that I don't have to rely on external means to numb, soothe, and distract me from the disruptances and the uneasiness of existence. I fell into situations where I saw myself as a failure, but you have to fail because the failure, what's embedded in failure is lessons. A lesson is learned, and thus better orient yourself in life moving forward. And what's the bigger regret here? The decisions you made or the leaps of faith you didn't take? And I think that's the best place to stop on this podcast episode. Think about that for a while. What's going to be your biggest regret? I think when I listen to older people talk about regrets, it's always the paths they notice but didn't walk down. Rise above anxiety. Thank you, everyone, for being here, being a listener of the show. I hope you like it. Please leave your comments. If you're listening on YouTube, leave them below. Let me know what you think. If you don't know I have the YouTube channel, go over to the YouTube channel, check it out, subscribe, like, follow. Join this community of people who just don't want to settle for the mundane. They just want to grow. They just want to be better. They just want to separate themselves from the slave-like element of culture itself. You're better than you think. I hope to see you on the next podcast episode. Bye for now.
Brad's Powerful Anxiety Recovery Program is now available at unpluganxiety.com. The Anxiety Project Program is downloadable and puts the power of anxiety recovery in your own hands. Visit unpluganxiety.com for more details. Recovery starts now.